very much. Lord bless you, brother. So happy to be back in the tabernacle again this afternoon, church. You know, you say, well, this is not a church, this is a Legion building. It's a church while the church is in here. And God is in His church, is that right? God is in His people. So His people is His church. So here we are. All sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, enjoying blessed fellowship, while the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all uncleanness. Isn't that wonderful? Just free at any time the Lord wants to call us. We just take a little flight and jump right into heaven just in about 2 seconds after we're gone. Isn't that fine? What blessed assurance. I was speaking some time ago in a Christian businessman, and I believe it was in Tijuana. No, I beg your pardon. It was at Jamaica. Kingston, Jamaica, and they had all the celebrity and a lot of the Cubans up there. And that night somebody said to me, after I got through speaking, said, we're holding our services on the racetrack, but I went down to some big place with a celebrity, you know, to speak that night, and said, you're that preacher up here, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, what you do now here, these businessmen? I said, I am a businessman. Oh, said, I didn't know. I said, yeah, I'm a businessman. So what kind of a business you in? I said, insurance business. He said, what kind of an insurance business? I said, eternal life insurance. I'm still in the business. Now, if anybody here is interested in talking over a policy with me, I'd be glad to talk with you anytime. Eternal life insurance. I went to school with a boy, Wilmer Snyder, very fine chap. Book of Deuteronomy 32:11. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, taketh up on her wings, and beareth them up. Now, the subject that I give out to speak on today was the eagle stirring her nest, as the eagle stirs her nest. And so I won't keep you too long now, that there'll be a time you can get ready and go to church. You have a good service this morning, everybody? Amen. Oh, liken his heritage to an eagle. You know, I got to reading about eagles one time, and I find out there's about 40 different kinds of eagles. And about 8 different kinds are mentioned in the Bible. Some of them, they claim that some of them were vultures because they eat carrion. But that was wrong. I was just different with the man that wrote, because I know eagles. Eagles only eat live meat. Vultures eat carrion. But a real eagle kills his own meat. He has to have it fresh, just like the grizzly bear and the black bear. Black bear is a scavenger. He eats a carrion, The grizzly bear, he has to kill fresh every night, or when he's going to eat, he eats. And so is the eagle. Eagle gets fresh meat. He doesn't want anything that's stale or left over or hand-me-downs. He wants to get his own meat. So we are looking in the face of a great subject and a great bird, and I always love the eagle, though he's caused me a lot of trouble. He's eat up a many deer that I kill, but I still got a respect for him. He's a bird of prey, and the very word eagle itself means ripper with a beak. He rips with his beak and then feeds. And that's a good way to look at it, a call of God, because God feeds with his mouth, and his mouth is his word, where his word comes forth. And he likened his heritage, us, unto his eaglets, and he himself is Jehovah Eagle. Did you know that? God claims himself to be Jehovah Eagle. He's the eagle himself. He's Papa Eagle, and we're little eaglets, his children. And I've learned much of eagles as I've studied them, and I'm a great lover of nature. Nature's where I first found God, to watch him. I'd watch the flowers. When I was just a sinner boy, and see the little flowers frosted hit them, and they bow their little head, and little black seed would drop out of them. And you know they have a funeral procession for flowers? Did you ever know that? Sure, God has a funeral procession. Certainly does. The fall rains come over and just cry great big tears down and bears them flower seeds. Certainly does. He has a funeral procession. And then they lay there in the wintertime while the ground freezes and the little stalk dries up, the bulb dries up, the petal's gone, the little seed freezes, pops open, all the pulp in the seed runs out. You might get a handful of that dirt, take it down to the laboratory and test it over and over, and you'll never find anything of that seed left in there, but just let the sun start shining. There's a germ of life somewhere that God has hid in that seed, somewhere in that ground, from that seed, it'll live again. And I thought, if God made a way for a seed to live again, how much more has He made a way for me to live again and you to live again? I was eating some ice cream one day when I was state game warden of Indiana. There's an old Methodist preacher named Brother Spurgeon, a very fine old man, Henryville, Indiana. We were sitting up on a stool eating a little ice cream, having some fellowship, and the agriculture hour was on. The little 4-H club there in Louisville had a machine over there that they had perfected that could make a grain of corn look just exactly like the one you made in the field. And you put a sack full, the machine had made, and a sack full that growed in the field. Put them in your hands, mix them up. You could never tell them apart. Take them down to the laboratory, cut them apart. They each had so much calcium, so much moisture, just exactly. The only way you'd ever know them again was to bury them. And both of them would rot. But the one that man made, that was the end of it. But the one that God made had a germ of life. It rose again. We can be church members, try to live a good life. But, brother, God's life is what counts. Two men look just alike. Go, both of them go to church. Both of them deacons. Both of them pastors. One have the germ of life and the other does not have the germ of life. So the difference is that where you find that nature new birth, that something that's in there that takes away all the doubt out of it and gives you an assurance in here that you know you've passed from death unto life because your spirit and His spirit is the same. They bear record one with the other. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the grace and the glory of God that has come to us and been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Nothing like it. Studying and watching these fellows, these eagles, watching their nature. One year up in Colorado, I like to hunt. And I'm not a killer, a hunter. And I like to just go out and get up on the mountain and sit down and watch the animals, see how they move. Never in my life I remember taking over a limit of anything because, and you hunters remember that, it's sinful for a Christian to break the law. Amen. You shouldn't do it. I mean, you remember. And you little boys around here, don't shoot my robins. They're mine, see. Did you ever hear the legend of the robins, you little boys? Now, if you want to shoot English sparrows, that's up to you and Papa and Mama and so forth, see. But my robins and doves, don't shoot them. You remember, that's my bird, see. Do you know how he got his little red breast? How many ever heard how he got it? The legend. One day there was a man dying on a cross. Everybody had forsaken him. Even God Himself had forsaken him. You know what happened? A little brown bird looked at him there and felt so sorry for him. He looked his hands, his prayers through with nails, and his feet was drove to a cross. He was in prison. You know what the little brown bird did? He was so sorry for him, he just run right in and tried to pull those nails out. And in doing so, he got his little breast all red with blood. Since then, he's had a red breast. You don't want to shoot him, do you? He's a nice little bird. You ought to see them little bright eyes looking up at me. Oh. Nature. I remember learning of the eagle once. I was sitting in Colorado and I was watching, it was in a spring roundup, bringing the cattle in, and I climbed up on a hill and I was watching the eagle, how she's bringing her little ones and what she did with them. And I thought, how amazing, taking my binoculars and get right up close to where she was at. And one year I was up there elk hunting, and the snow has to run the elk down. If it don't, there a while, they don't get down in the valleys where sometimes fishermen and things comes up the creeks. But they stay real high. And there had been no snow to run them down, so the rancher and I had parted. We'd see one another in the next 2 or 3 days, and we'd meet where we were hunting across, he on one side of the divide and me on the other. And I had about a couple of pack horses and a saddle horse, so I climbed way up where I didn't take my horse early that morning and went on up high. Just hobbled him so he could pick a while. I went way up high, and in the fall of the year, around October there, it would rain a while, snow a while. You know how it is, almost like a March down here. Then the sun will come and dry it all off, and come up a storm, one of them quick northerners, and there's no blow down close. I was almost a timber line, and I just got behind a tree and stood like this till the storm was over. And after the storm was over, I stood there, and the wind got real cold when it was storming, the wind blowing and the rains falling, the autumn rains. And the evergreens is freezing. And then way back in the west, the sun came out, and I noticed it shining down and struck against the side of the mountain. Those evergreens froze. It formed a rainbow across the canyon. That great big eye setting back there into the west, looking that way, I thought, that's like the eyes of God run to and fro through the whole earth. You know, you just can't go anywhere unless you can see God if you just look for Him. He's just everywhere. You got to get Him in here first, though. Then let Him use your eyes to look. Get Him in here, He'll use your tongue to speak. Yes, He'll just use your whole being just as much as you yield to Him. That's how much He can use. God has an awful time getting a fellow to yield to Him. Like Samson. Samson was kind of a ladies' man. He yielded his strength to God, but wouldn't give his heart to God. He gave that to the lion. That's all God could use was his strength. And just as much as you'll give to Him, that's what He can use of you. Oh, let's just give all to Him. So here I am, Lord, just take it. While I was standing there, I looked at that, and I seen that rainbow, and I said, looky here, God's come up on top of this mountain. There He is in a rainbow. You see Him in Revelation 1 to look up on, you know, a rainbow. Walking in the middle of 7 golden candlesticks to look upon is jasper and sardis stone, Benjamin, Reuben, first, last. And I looked at that and I thought, isn't that beautiful? About that time, an old gray wolf howled up on the hill and the mate answered it down in the bottom. I thought, yeah, there's God in that. The storm has separated the elk herd. I got 80-some-odd elk in that herd. Just try to get the biggest bulls as anyone understands. I like them just like you would your cattle. You don't want to butcher them out and just cause you can shoot them, but just take out the old ones, cause if you don't, it hurts your herd. And I heard an old bull over on the side bugling because he got lost from the other herd. Oh, my, you talk about it. David said, the deep calling to the deep. Standing up there and hear that wolf howl. I hear this elk over here bugling. Something way down on the inside of me began to gurgle up. I thought, oh God. I thought, it's good to be here. I wish I could build 3 tabernacles. I got so happy, I set my little old rifle against the side of the tree, and around and around and around that tree, I went just screaming top of my voice, jumping up and down and flopping my arms back and forth. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, somebody in the woods, they thought they had a maniac out there. Round and around the bush, I went as hard as I could and said, praise God, hallelujah. Just running as hard as I could. Because I was feeling good. I didn't care for anybody else see me. I was just blowing off the steam that was written. I was going to burst. So I just had to whistle, put a little out the whistle. So I was just going around and around and around as hard as I could. That's why I stopped and throwed up my hands. I thought, there he is over the yonder in the rainbow. Here he is down here howling in the wolf. Here he is bugling in the elk. Here he is in my heart. Oh, you're just everywhere, and round and round and round the tree. I went again. I thought, oh, it's good to be here. Wish I could build me a cabin and stay here. And then I thought, no, like it was with Peter, James, and John, there's a sick child just below the hill, you see. Got to go down. So while I was standing there, I noticed I must have excited a little old pine squirrel. I don't know where you, Texas. Oh, sure, if it's anywhere else, you got it in Texas, but a little pine squirrel jumped up on a stump there where there was an old blowdown, And he began to just say all kinds of things to me. I guess I must have scared the little fellow half to death. And I was running around like that. I looked over, and he's sitting there switching that little tail. He's chatter, 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 chatter. I thought, what's the matter with you, little guy? I'm worshiping the very God that created you. You want to see some more of it? Here I go, around and around, around and around again. I thought, how'd you like that? Why don't you run around a little while? But the only thing, he could sit there and go chatter, 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 chatter. I thought, now, God, what are you attracting my attention to that little fellow for? Well, I'm just having such a big time here, you and I. I looked at him. He's got great big bug eyes anyhow, you know. Looked like sticks out on his cheek, especially when he gets all excited. And he's looking down like this. I thought, he's not watching me. I come to find out the winds, the blowing of that storm had forced the big old eagle down under this stuff, under this blowdown. This great big old brown eagle was coming, moving out of there. And that's what the little squirrel was excited about. He wasn't bothering me at all. He wasn't bothered about me. So he's watching that eagle down there, because that eagle could pick him up right easy, you know. So he jumped out of this big eagle, and I thought, well, now what do you know about that? I seen this big eagle jump out there, and those great big velvet eyes looking around, you know, and I thought, isn't he a pretty thing? Stand about 10 feet from me. And I thought, God, why'd you attract my attention now to that eagle instead of letting me run around this tree? I don't know why you'd let me look at a fellow like that. If I just kill a deer and don't cover him up good, he'd pack him away. So why would I have to look at a fellow like that? I'm looking at you out here in a rainbow, seeing you out here hearing in the wolf and then all these things. I said, where would you be in that eagle? And yet the Bible said that you're Jehovah eagle, and we're eaglets. So now, I wonder, how would you ever be in that eagle? I thought, what can I see about that fellow? I can see the elk, his great big monarch. He's the monarch of the woods. I can see the wolf with his lonesome howl, and I can see the rainbow, but that fellow, what's about him godly? And I happened to notice he's sitting there, and I said, you know what? I said, old fellow, I could shoot you if I wanted to. And I said, I could shoot you. Do you believe that? He just never paid me any attention. Just sat there in that great big head looking up, you know, them eyes blazing over the skies, and looked back at me. And I kept noticing watching that chipmunk. So I think he had his eye on getting that chipmunk, so I think, or that ground pine squirrel. We call them chipmunks in Indiana, but they're actually pine squirrels. So I see him watching that. I thought, well, what about him? I said, well, he's one thing, he's not scared. And I said, I see how scary he is. I said, you know how I can shoot you? He just looked at me. I started raising my hand towards my gun. I see him moving them feathers. I said, I see it. I see what he is. See? He knows that he could be in that timber before I could ever get my hand on that rifle. That's right. Why? He had two wings. God gave him two wings to escape danger. Now watch him feeling them feathers. Oh, God, I see where you're at now. Somebody said to me, aren't you afraid you'll make a mistake sometime up on there? Oh, no. Oh, no. As long as I can just feel his God-given presence around, let him say anything you want to. It don't make any difference. Aren't you afraid somebody take a crack shot at you? No, no. I ain't afraid as long as I feel his presence, that God-given power. That's all. Just feel his presence around. Aren't you afraid they'll clash you as a holy roller? Done did it. Didn't do any good. I'm going right on just the same. So it doesn't matter. Just feel his presence around you. See if every feather's laying just right. Oh, my. We ought to take inventory once in a while and just see how everything's feeling. Don't you think so? I like that. Just feel that real comfortable feeling like I do right now. See, he's right around. Now, and I thought, well, I see what it is. And another thing, he's not afraid because he knows where he's standing. He knows just how much he can do and how much he can't. And he's trusting his God-given gift to take him away from danger. And if God could give an eagle that much confidence by instinct, how much more confidence ought we to have? Amen. Amen. With the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. Take us away from danger. Fly away. Sure. Get right away from it. Just rise up. Believe it. No need of us being this way, being sick or broke up and divided in 969 different organizations and things. Let's fly away from it. Amen. Get on out of it. We're not bound by anything. No. So I fly right away. People say, oh, days of miracles is past. Don't you believe it? You feel that God-given power around you. That saves you and fills you full of the Holy Ghost. What's that? Keep your feelings of the Holy Spirit around you. See everything? The gears is all running right. Oiled up good with eye sag, you know, and everything. So you can really move out when it comes time. Then I watched him a little bit, and I found out that he wasn't afraid of me, but he got tired of that little old chipmunk sitting there, a little old pine squirrel, sitting going, chatter, 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 chatter. He got enough of it. I guess maybe by instinct he knew that I would have shot him anyhow because I admired him. Sitting there, I like anything brave. I hate a coward. I hate a man see a man get in the pulpit and afraid to preach his conviction. I'd say it if he shot me, just the same. I want and go to an office and somebody be healed by the power of God and afraid to say something about it. Somebody say that they, I believe the Lord's a healer, and then afraid to testify of it. Oh, brother. Shame to the Holy Ghost. God can't use you. God wants man of bravery. Amen. We are kin to the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's right. Sternness, firmness, bravery. Oh, I could take on that lion and leave my picture. But on this eagle, I watched him for a few minutes. And after a while, he got tired of hearing that there chatter. So he just made one big jump. And he flapping his wings about three times like that. He was done beyond that timber. Then I thought, my, what a powerful, the wind almost knocked me down when he raised up there. The power of that wing coming up like that. He's right up into that timber. I thought, my, he could fly a long ways. But you know what? He never flopped his wings anymore. No. He just knew how to set them. And every time the wind would come in, he'd ride up a little high. He'd set them again. When the winds would come up the canyon, he'd ride a little higher. Not flapping one more time. He just rode away. I stood there, and I started crying. I thought, Lord, we'll have another spell. This sure is the world. Oh, I looked, and there he went. And I watched him until he come just a little black dot way in the air. I thought, that's it, Lord. It isn't join this and go join that and flap, flap here and flop, flop there and from one place to another. It's knowing how to set your wings in the power of faith and fly away. Leave that earthbound chipmunk set there saying, chatter, chatter, days of miracles is past. I chatter, chatter, no such thing as the Holy Ghost. Chatter, 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 it's all nonsense. That's just worship. That's enthusiasm. No such a thing. Oh, my. Just set your wings. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost comes in like a wave, just ride on it like a glory. You can't even hear it no more. That's the way it gets so high in the atmospheres of God's grace until you don't even hear that chatter, chatter here. It becomes dead to you. You're up in the heavenly. Now, eagle was made a heavenly bird. He certainly was. And there's no other bird that can touch him. No, sir, he's the king of the bird family. That's true. If you say a hawk's got a hawk eye, you've heard that? He's an amateur. You don't know what he's talking about. If that hawk would ever try to fly with that eagle, he'd disintegrate in the air. That eagle is a special built bird. He has to be because he can fly higher than any other bird. Well, now, if he didn't have a special built body when he got up there, he would disintegrate too. That's how people try to impersonate to be something that they're not. That's what finds all your wrecks on the road. What I mean on the road of life. Because they're trying to impersonate somebody else and they wasn't built that way. They wasn't made for that. I don't know whether that sunk in or not, but I hope it did. But anyhow, oh, yes. Amen. We find out. You know, the uncircumcised Egyptian trying to follow the circumcised Israelites, they got disintegrated too in the bottom of the sea. They couldn't cross, their wheels mired down. Now, we notice as the eagle, and if he, what good would it do? Now, that's the reason God likened his prophets to eagles, because they could go so high Now he's a special made bird, and oh, his feathers are so tight, you can hardly pull them out with a pair of pliers. They're so tight, because if they wasn't, when he got up there, that spheres up in there, they'd come out of him. He'd fall back to the earth and just, he'd disintegrate. And if the hawk tried to follow him, or the crow tried to follow him, he'd just leave him in the dust. And right? He got any higher, he goes so high, that's all the higher he can go. Because he's a crow or a hawk. But an old eagle just keeps on climbing. Now, what good would it do him to get up there if he wasn't equipped with some eyes that could see way away, too? That's right. What good does it do to climb high unless you live high, too? Live the way you're climbing. High as you jump, live that high. You know what I mean? That's why it brings so much reproach on the church, is people jumping way high and living real low, see? That's the thing we ought to do, live just as high as you jump. That's right. Now, if the eagle didn't have some reason to be up there, he'd never be made that way. So that's the reason God made him and called him his prophet. Because a prophet rises high like Isaiah and Jeremiah and them. They went way up. Farther up you go, the farther away you can see. Now, some people just stays on the ground all the time, so his vision's just right here. But as you raise, higher you raise, further away you can see. Oh, my. No wonder some people are so nearsighted. They have never got their foot off the ground yet. Oh, higher you can raise. And the eagle is the highest of all. He can raise higher than any other bird. Nothing can follow him. Why, I doubt whether an airplane could get to him. They're making it generate its own air. But when you get up in there, this bird, a live bird, up in there, you look around, he can see his eyes so far beyond the hawk. He could get up there and see things like if there was a storm coming and you could be high enough in the air, you could see it hundreds and hundreds of miles away. If you was high enough up, you could see it. Well, God took his prophets and raised them up so high like Jeremiah and Isaiah, John and them, till they saw plumb on down into the millennium. Amen. Way up. I was over to visit a brother in Phoenix not long ago, a brother outlaw. He said, that's a horrible name for a Christian brother, but he's a fine man. And there's one of my brother Kinson, when you and I were there, we was at his church. And he had a choir up there. They were godly looking little women with no manicure on their face and had long hair and dress. What is that you call it? I always get mascara. That don't sound right. Anyhow, it's on the lips and on the air. It's all over, you see. So, paint is really what it is. I guess that's just you ever what it is. Well, anyhow, they wasn't dressed like that. And their little old faces just as shiny as a peeled onion. And there was standing there, and his little voice down there singing, "We're going up, up, up." And he said, first round was justification, second round, sanctification. Glorification, then the Holy Ghost came down. Then I started up, 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 till I struck the milky white wave. I thought I was gone, man. You see that? That's that eagle mounting up. Going up, way up in there, you can see the coming of the Lord. Oh, no wonder when that little woman seen Grant come in to Richmond up there, she said, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored." Sure, kept in the vision of the coming of the Lord, going up. Now he's a special built bird. He's going to fly higher, and if he gets up there, he can see far off. And Jehovah, Papa Eagle, sits all the way up into heaven. Oh, when he was here on earth, he was given the lowest name could ever be given. Beelzebub. He went to the lowest city there is in the world, Jericho. And become so low until he had to look up in a tree to see the smallest man in the city. That's right. Amen. He was called everything on earth, bad names and everything, but when he was exalted, he was given a name above every name that's named in heaven and earth. But all the family, both in heaven and earth, is named after him. He is exalted so high above till he has to look down to see heaven. Now that's how God did him when he got up there. That's the difference. Now you have to start up. Now we're just as low as we can be when we're sinners. Let's start up the milky white way. Just strike it and keep going on. Now we find that going up, up, going up to the kingdom of God. Now these prophets, when they get up there, go so far up where other birds of intelligence couldn't see. They didn't know. They couldn't get up there in the first place, but God said his prophets were his eagles. And now God told us, you know, in the Bible, that he brought Israel out of Egypt on the wings of an eagle. That was his wings. Oh, that pillar of fire for a direction. He carried Israel on his wings. Oh, here not long ago, when they were bringing Palestine being stirred again, seeing Louis Petrus sent down 1 million New Testaments to those Jews coming up from down in Iran and so forth, and they were reading that New Testament, and they never heard of such a thing as the Lord Jesus being on earth. They've been down there since the Romans had packed them away. And they said, if this be the Messiah, let us see him do the sign of the prophet. We'll believe it. Oh, what a setup for the ministry. I stuck right out. When I got down to Cairo, Egypt, I had my 30 minutes, I'd been in Palestine. And something struck me and went out behind a hangar, said, the hour's not yet. I returned back and went to Greece and on over into India. The hour wasn't yet. Call them Jews out. They believe it, brother. Yes, sir. And I thought, what a time to bring those brethren out there and say, is it true that you said if this Messiah was the Son of God, he was the Messiah that was spoke of, you want to see him do the sign of the prophet and you'll believe him. Is that right? And I say, now, pick yourself out some man and come up here. We'll find out whether he's still the prophet or not. Whether he is, right on this same ground where your forefathers denied the baptism of the Holy Ghost, now receive it. Oh, then the gospel's gone to the Jew and the Gentile day is finished then. Just a little piece of door open, you little eaglet, you better be flapping and getting ready to get out of here, because the door of mercy will be closed one of these days. That is true. Oh, what a great thing. How God, those, when they brought the airplanes down, and I guess you read it and the Reader's Digest. No, I'll tell you, it was in Look magazine. I've got a film that shows 3 minutes till midnight. 3 minutes till midnight. And it's in life-size figure of being in the Palestine, Brother Argenbright, many of the friends down there, and this, they had these packing these Jews in, old crippled ones, on their backs. So they went up to interview them. They said, are you coming back to die in the homeland? Said, no, we're coming to see the Messiah. When the fig tree puts forth its branches, oh brother, Israel's becoming a nation again there. The old six-point star of David flies, the oldest flag in the world. The first time it flew for 2,500 years. They're in their own land now. That's God's calendar. Messiah will come just as sure as you're standing there waiting for him. We're at the end time. All little eagles press through the door of mercy and go flying as hard as you can. When they brought him up, those airplanes come down to get those Jews. They were still plying with old wooden instruments like they did hundreds and thousands of years ago. They still do it in South Africa. So then when we find out that they was afraid of that airplane, they was scared to get in it. One old rabbi stepped out there and said, don't be afraid. He said, our prophet promised us that someday we'd go to the homeland on the wings of an eagle. That big TWA plane raised up them Jews, that's what the prophet saw. He didn't know what it was. He couldn't call it an airplane. He said, it's an eagle's wings. They'll come back on. Seen that old airplane raised up down there 2,500 years ago. And that's coming to pass right now. Bring them back on the wings of the eagle. That eagle is a bird. Quite a bird. Up in Cincinnati Zoo. I like to take the children up there. One way, I hate to see anything pinned up in a cage. I feel so sorry for, I love wildlife, but I don't have any, not even a dog at home, because I'd have to keep him tied. I hate to see anything in prison, anything but a prison house. Put them poor animals in there for everybody to come and stare at them, look around. I think it's just pathetic. And then I think, if I just had the money, I'd buy them all, take them back to their homelands and turn them loose and say, go on, now run as hard as you can, get away. I don't blame a bunch of painted-up things standing around looking at them, puffing cigarettes, smoking their nose. Oh, my. I hate to be standing there like that myself. So, oh, it ought to be. It's the other side. The cigarette puffer ought to be in there. He'd be more of a thing, something to cage up. You don't know enough to take care of himself. Then the first thing we know, I went down and took my little girl Sarah. We was walking along hand to hand. We went down to the birds. And there's a great big cage down there. They just must have caught this big fella. It was a great big eagle. They put him there. Oh, he's a mammoth big fella, great big feet. Looked like I could pick up a calf and fly away with it. Well, I heard a flopping down there and the feathers are flying. I thought, what's the matter? So Sarah and I walked out. She's a little bitty top. And I just have so much fun out of my children. Don't you love children?
Amen.
This little Sarah, just a few years ago, I've been in a meeting and I come home one night and they was waiting up for Daddy to come in. They're both Daddy's little girls, you know. So they was waiting. I didn't get in till real late, so Mama put them to bed and I got in about 2 or 3 o'clock. And I was so worked up from the meetings and visions and things worked me up so bad. So I couldn't sleep, so I got up about 6 o'clock, went into the parlor and sat down in a chair, just sitting there thinking about the meeting. All at once I heard down in the girls' room there a lot of noise, and now I looked and here come Becky, my oldest. She's kind of long-legged, you know, and Sarah's a little bitty feller, and so here come Becky as hard as she could, just a-running, and she jumped right a-straddle my lap like that and throw both arms around me, begin to hug me, hollering, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I looked back there, you know, that just makes a man's heart swell out. And I looked, and here come her little sister, Sarah, with hand-me-downs, you know, how the second one always get pajama feet about that much too long, you know. She put me in mind of the little interdenominational church, and the other long leg had been around a long time, you know, so kind of been here long, know a lot of things. So she threw her arms around me, and she beat Sarah there, and she said, Sarah, my sister, little Sarah stopped, said, I want you to understand this, my sister, I was here first, and I've got all of Daddy, and there's none left for you. Poor, that's just not the way they try to tell us. That's right. That long leg has been way back in her for a long time ago, you know. So I said, got all of you. So I said, I got all of Daddy, and there's none left for you. Might as well close up your doors. Little Sarah standing there, her little lips dropped down, the little black eyes, little tears come out on like that. I looked over at her and winked at her, motioned my finger, stuck out my other leg. Here she comes, feet flopping every way, you know. Jumped up on my leg and she's kind of, she hadn't been ordained long enough, you know. She's kind of topsy-turvy. So I had to reach and get her with both arms or she'd fall off. And I hugged her up close to me. She hugged me and helped tighten it. She turned around them big eyes, you know, and that smile on her face. She said, my sister Rebecca, I want to tell you something too. He says, it may be so that you was here first and you got all of Daddy, but I want you to know that Daddy's got all of me. So I want him to have all of me. I don't know all the theologies and all the deologies and the PhDs and QUDs. Only thing I know, he's got all of me. That's all I care for, as long as I know that his Spirit has me wrapped into his mercy and goodness. Nothing I try to merit, nothing I could merit, nothing I can do, nothing in my arms I bring, just simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, take all of me. That's the way. Little old Sarah and I go along with, a few days I said, I hold her by the hand, and we went down to this eagle cage. And I had seen one of the most pathetic sights I thought I ever seen. There's a big old eagle had just been caught. He sat in this cage. He was laying on his back when it went up. Great big wings flowed out like that. I noticed he was bleeding all over the front of his wings. His head is all bleeding. The feathers knocked off of it, the edge of his wings. I thought, what's the matter with that poor bird? And I raised little Sarah up and put her legs across my neck so she could see in the cage. And she said, Daddy, he's a bleeding. I said, yes. Maybe there ain't nothing there for him to fight. I don't know what he's fighting. After all, he got up, shook that weary head, turned his head and looked like that. You know, he's a heavenly bird. Got back to the cage like that. Here he come across the cage just as hard as he could, flapping down big wings and banged his head right into that cage again, knocking him backwards on the floor. And he, blood running out of his wings where he tried to beat him against that cage to get out. He hit him so hard that time he laid there and his weary eyes looked up to the sky. Oh, God, isn't that pitiful? Then something struck in my heart. I thought, no, that's not the most pitiful thing I ever seen, an animal in a cage. The most pitiful thing I ever seen is a man born to be a son of God. Hallelujah. Pinned down by some organization or some creed that tells him the days of miracles. Don't you know such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When he lays those old denominational creeds and looks around like that, he was born to be a son of God. Creeds put him in a cage. God wants him out. Amen. That was the work of a man. Put that eagle in there. It's the work of a man that puts you man in creed and denomination. All of the devil. That's our creed of man down. Days of miracles is fast. No such a thing as joy of the Holy Ghost. No such a thing as shouting. No such a thing as speaking in tongues. No divine. Oh, my. Pitiful. Sons of God. Born to be free. Then caged down. Brethren, don't despise those men. Don't despise that, that ring that's got them bound in there. That's the thing. Break for them. That's right. Don't despise them. They were born to be sons of God. They were born to be free. Just don't let nobody cage you up in something other like that. That's the thing. Keep out of those old cages. That's exactly right. The old eagle, he's such a wonderful bird. His habits, I like to watch his habits, what he does. I've watched them build their nests many times on the roundup. You know, say, put my glasses on them, watch them. Or when early in the morning before we even start on the drive, I get up there and get my binoculars to see what the old eagle is doing to that nest yet. He goes out, and you ought to see him. He never builds his nest on the ground. An eagle won't build his nest on the ground. The eagle builds his nest way as high as he can get in the highest peak. That's the reason God likened him to his church. You are a candle that sets on a hill. That's right. High ambitions. High anticipations. We're expecting great things. We're not saying, well, I'm Pentecostal. That settles it. That don't for me. I'm expecting greater things. I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm oneness, two-ness, three-ness, or whatever you are. That don't satisfy me. I've got ambitions to move on to be Him. Up. I receive the Holy Ghost. That settles it. It didn't with me. I'm still taking it, moving higher and higher. Just moving on. Way high. High ambitions. High expectations. Ambitions. Well, we got a pretty nice little church. We just settle down. Me and this little crowd. We don't want the rest of you in our group. Not me. I want to reach out a hand to every fallen creed. Amen. Ambitions. Do something. Expectations for a man that had never walked in truth to see truth. You'll never get him in that way, but down in him, you got to put your arm around him and love him and let him know that you're your brother. Then something will happen. If you're akin to Jehovah, you will do that. You got his spirit. He'd come to ones that hated him, despised him, and spit in his face, and still prayed to be saved. Certainly. That's the spirit of God in a man. Now, how much different that eagle is from a chicken? Oh, well, a chicken's a bird just the same as an eagle is. You know that? Well, a chicken is just as much bird as the eagle, but a chicken is his denominational brother, you know, that's just ready to settle down in some creed, builds his nest right out in the barnyard somewhere, wherever a rat can run in and tear it up, scatter his little ones. Whiskey, cigarettes, smoking, short-wearing women, bobbed hair, the whole everything is cut into pieces. Oh, you don't take you that every old, filthy thing of the world can creep right into it, but an eagle takes his nest and puts his little ones that's going to be born so high that foul breath don't even blow on them. You know, I feel real religious right now. Feel good. Yes, bring him way up high. I watch him how he takes that nest. First he takes some great big sticks and places them right down the crevices like that. Builds it around so no wind can disturb it. Then he goes out and gets briar vines and wraps that around. Round and around, ties it in. He isn't an architect of the country could build one any better. That's right, he knows how to do it way up on a peak. No animals or rats can climb up there. So his little ones are safe. Some time ago, a noted evangelist said, I'll go into a city. Well, it was our brother Billy Graham. I think a mighty evangelist. He said to Louisville there, talking to the ministerial breakfast that morning, I was there with Mordecai Ham, which is a good brother of mine, one that led him to the Lord, led Billy Graham to the Lord. Mordecai and I are neighbors there, so we're real good friends. And he was, we're sitting at the table together, and old Billy got up. He said, this Bible is the standard. He said, when Paul went into a city, that he had one convert. He went back the next year, and that convert had made 30. He said, I'll go into a city. He said, I'll get 30,000 converts. When I come back next year, or 2 weeks and then, or a month, said, I can't find 30. So what's the matter? Now, here's what he said. He said, you bunch of lazy preachers, sit back there with your feet on the desk and send him a card and didn't personal contact him. I admired his, but that wasn't it. I thought, I want to ask you something. Who was that personal one? Paul didn't go back. He just left that convert. That's all. The thing of it is, Billy, you're not taking them far enough out of the sight of all these things. That's what it is! Get that 30,000 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then come back in 30 days. Yes, sir. Just stand a little creed over them. They take them out and say, show them your name here. Take your letter out of some other and put it over here. That's not it. Take sin out of your life and let your name be written on the Lamb's Book of Life in glory up there, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost come down there, and you'll fly like an eagle. That's right. You'll come out above all this old stink of carrying on we have on the earth here. It's really the truth. Some time ago, an old rancher and I was together. We've been partners a long time. I never could just lead him to Christ. We were way high in the mountains, and he kind of got a little hump on his back, and he's kind of a great big old bull gun on his back walking around. The light was shining down through them trees where hardly a man had ever walked. He stopped all at once. He looked around. He said, this looks like a cathedral. I said, Jeff, I fell him in here ever since he come across the hill. He threw his arms down and said, Billy, I want to find him right here in his cathedral. That's it! He turned up. He never smoked or anything. And he hated automobile because he was a rancher. He said, you don't smell no gasoline or cigarettes up here, do you, Billy? I said, no, this is where he lives, Jeff. This is why I come up here. Get up high! That you have to have in the spiritual atmosphere. Don't stay down here like a chicken.
Amen.
Fly away of it. Get away. Chicken. Every old rat coming out of the barn will catch him.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. You don't take it no farther than just join the church and come every Sunday and we'll have a little bunco game and we'll play croquet in the backyard. That's not what it is, brother.
Oh, hallelujah.
Have a soup supper and pay our pastor off and all of you put on your bathing suits and go swimming, get a suntan. You need a suntan.
Yeah.
I got two girls. They may try it one of these days, and they're going to get a tanning from the sun, but not the S-U and the S-O and the Mr. Branham. He has a barrel set behind him. This is hard. That's what they need, is that kind of a tanning.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my, what we need today is a good old St. Paul's revival and the Bible Holy Ghost back in the church again. His ambitions are high. Chicken. Stays down on the ground. Builds his nest. Never rat, snake, and ever scavenger there is. Comes in, eats the eggs before they even born. They even hatched out. Right. That's the reason Billy's losing all of his converts. It's exactly right. Every rat in the country, every old cigarette smoker, dancer, everything else comes in, takes them out. Let him build that nest a little higher up there sometime. Lift them up just a little bit higher. Get out of the reach of them. Jesus said, if you love the world, things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. John said that. Get them out of the things of the world.
Amen.
Get them out of reach of it. And a man that ever tasted Jesus Christ, the world is dead to him.
Amen.
I got a little Bible at home, one of my first, and I picked it up the other day and looked at it. I had in the back, people kept asking me questions. They said, is it wrong to smoke? I was in the Baptist church. That is it wrong to smoke? Is it wrong to drink? I wrote a little poem in there, and I said, don't ask me foolish questions. Just make this up in your mind. If you love the Lord with all your heart, you don't smoke, chew, or drink any shine. So I think that still stands good. That's right. How would you ever eat out of a garbage can after once you'd eat from God's table?
Yeah.
No such thing. Sorry, you can't do it. Certainly. Now, the next thing he liked in the eagle, oh, got so many things, but we haven't got time to get to them all. But the next thing is the eagle restores his youth. You know, the Psalm said that. Proverbs said it. As the eagle restores his youth, renews his youth. He renews his youth. An old eagle every once in a while, All of them feathers drops out and he renews his youth again. Well, that's likened to his church. I remember the first time I ever seen Pentecostal people. It's up at a tabernacle, Brother Rao, up here in Indiana. I was Michigan. That's where Dwight Jack met, close to Dwight Jack. I forget the name of the place now. I was up in Indiana there around the Michigan border. And Mishawaka, Indiana. That's right, Mishawaka. And I went in there, and they had about 60 preachers on the platform that night. They said, all preachers come up. So I went up there, and I was a Baptist, and so I sat down. And so they heard some of them preachers, them young fellows that day, all preaching how Jesus was and what a wonderful Savior he was and so forth. And that night, for the main message, they brought an old colored man out there. And the poor old fellow almost had to lead him out. He had a great, big old blue-looking cutaway Prince Albert coat. Well, one of these here collars on old preacher's coat, you know. He come out there, just a little rim of white hair. Here he come out to the pulpit. Like that. Now I thought, well, why don't they put some of these young theologians out there? Bring a message. The old fellow come out there, you know, and got around at the pulpit like this. He said, I want to take my text tonight. Said from over in Job, I believe it's 737 or something like that, said, where was you when I laid the foundations of the world? Poor little pastor do. When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. And I thought, what'd they put that old man out there to preach for? And all that fellows had been preaching what Jesus done down here. He started back down there before eternity began. Brought him all the way across the skies and had him coming down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. About that time, the Holy Spirit struck him in the heart. Whoopee! Jumped up and went dancing around like that. There's twice as much room as this here. Walked off the platform and said, not enough room up here for me to preach. Walked off the platform. I said, boy, that's what I want. If they'll make an old man like that, what would he do to a young man? As the eagle renews his youth. Yes, sir, the revival takes and shakes all the old funny feelings away from you, fly out into an atmosphere down there. Liken his heritage to an eagle because the eagle renews his youth. Now, makes him shout. You watch the church be sitting all dry. First thing you know, the Holy Spirit strikes them. They're new. Well, the old people just up on their feet jumping and shouting and praising God. Renews your youth again. That's right. Do anything a young person can do. Just jump and holler and scream and shout. He renews his youth. That's right. I believe in that, don't you? There's a farmer up there in Indiana. One of them was he was a good farmer. His barns wasn't very good. All cracks in the barns and everything. And there's another farmer down there, but he had plenty of money, so he built the finest of barn that you could ever see. This is good for the preachers. So I say he built the finest barn that you ever seen. He had tractors and everything, but that guy was too lazy to farm. So each one of them and the other farmer, the farmer had the bad barn, the little mission somewhere. He was a real farmer up and at it, so he raised plenty of good alfalfa hay and everything that year and put it up. And the next, that in the barn that year, both barns was born to calf. And the next spring, the warm winds begin to blow. They let the rich farmer down there let his little calf out. Poor little fellow, so thin, he comes staggering out. The wind's almost blowing him sideways. Couldn't hardly get along. He hadn't had nothing to eat. Had some old weeds up in there, you know. Yeah. Old denominational weeds. Yeah. We are so-and-so. We are the biggest. That never fattened a soul. No. But this other little calf, he didn't have very much of a barn to stay in. But brother, when they let him out, he was all full of vitamins and fat. My, just as round and fat as he could be. Man, he just kicked up his heels and started hitting that wind, you know, and hit him. And when that rushing wind struck him, he was just having a big time. Just running around kicking up his heels. You know what the little poor calf done? Stuck his little poor head through the cracks and said, such fanaticism. What was the matter? He was starved on denominational weeds. What we need is some Holy Ghost vitamins in the church. It'll renew the youth. It'll renew the youth of the church. Take it back to Pentecost again. Bring it with an experience. Amen. Fattened up. We're putting too much, and that's what's mad at us Pentecostal people. We're putting too much on our buildings nowadays and claiming Jesus is coming. Yes, sir. What we ought to do is beyond the job. I'm getting somebody in there, saving souls, healing them God's vitamins through the power of God. That's exactly right. Now finally the old eagle takes the place to several things about him, but I got the just hit the high spot now. My time's getting away. So we let's see him build his nest. They're going to have a nest full of little ones. He's building his church, you know, way up on top of the hill, and vines are up real good. Now that nest is all full of stickers. Well, you don't want that thing. We don't want your new converts to know all the stickers about the thing, you know, how you had to battle to get there. But you know what the eagle does? He goes out and pads that nest. You ought to see him. That old mother eagle will go out and get rabbit skin, eat the rabbit, then take the skin and poke it up and never a little crack like that. Just make it just a little fluffy place, all the prettiest little cozy nest for the little ones to be born in. That's the way God does it, you know. Oh, my. When you're first saved, don't you feel good? Walking on that little fine fuzz, you know. Oh, my. That little tender feet, you know, just good. Oh, it's real good. Oh, how Papa walks up and down the nest and them little ones are born. Looking at them. My. Oh, you're starting to strut. Throw them shoulders back and strut looking at this little one. All look just like me. That's right. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also. Can you drink the cup of persecution, being made fun of, called Beelzebub like me?
Yes.
Can you be baptized with the Spirit I'm baptized with?
Yea.
Just like me. Looking at these little ones, you see. Oh, how he struts. Now, what if all at once one of them little fellows would happen to be a crow? Fly up on the nest and holler, call, 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 call. That'd be a hybrid. That's what's the matter today. We got too many hybrid buzzards and crows in the nest and not real eagles. Too much hybrid religion. Trying to mix all them water together. It won't mix. You know what happened? If that little crow jumped up on her, call, call, call. Days of miracles is past. No such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. All this is fanaticism. He'd kick him out of there. What would happen to him up in that nest? Then he'd disintegrate before he hit down among the chickens. He sure would. Yes, sir. No, sir. Papa Eagle, they look just like him. They believe the same thing he does. They look like him. Yes, sir. They're made like him. They're built like him. And he knows they're genuine eagles. Oh, my. That's what God wants, a genuine Messiah.
Amen.
Yeah. He is Messiah. Messiah is the anointed one. And we are his children, which have a lesser anointing. So we're as Jehovah Eagle, his great eagle, and we're eaglet. He's Messiah, and we with the same anointing are Messiahs. Amen. Amen. Anointed. Amen. Messiah means the anointed one.
Amen.
Are you anointed? Amen. What with? The same spirit that he was anointed with. We have it in measure. He has it without measure. He was God manifest in the flesh, and we are sons of God, hearts of him. Come on. Yes, sir. The very works that I do, shall you do also. I might take a spoonful of water out of this ocean out here. You never miss it in the ocean. That's the way we'd be missed if we'd have to drop out. But remember, the same chemicals is in the entire ocean is in that spoon. Same water. That's just more of it out there. So that's what it is. Or you say, what is that out there? Ocean water. What's this here? Ocean water. Exactly. That's the way Papa Eagle thinks about his little ones. How he struts around. You scream at him, they'll scream back. That's it. I'm he that was. Amen, Papa. I'm he that is. Amen, Papa. I'm he that is to come. Amen, Papa. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Papa. I'm still the healer. Amen, Papa. I still give the Holy Ghost. Amen, Papa. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Papa. Amen. Little old crow say, ah, oh, God. You little buzzard, what you hollering about? Get out of there! Little vulture, you couldn't eat eagle food anyhow. Try it. Oh, my. Then the first thing you know, when he finds out that they're fine little eagles, he walks around. And first thing you know, Mama is determined that her little eagles ain't going to be like the earthbound chicken. They ain't going to get to walk on that all the time. Go give them a few trials to see how they come out. Uh-huh. Every son that cometh to God must be chastened. And when they back up, say, no, why, you wasn't a son to begin with.
Amen.
If you cannot stand chastisement, then the Bible says you become a bastard child and not a son of God.
Amen.
So that's where you pull them out. Like a man went forth and said, the kingdom of God, throw the net into the sea, and when he drew it out, He had terrapins, crawfish, lizards, and everything else. Pulled them out on the bank. That's the preacher's job. We don't know which is which. Some of them's fish, some of them's lizards, some of them's snakes, some of them crawfish. Watch the old crawfish when he's there. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah, praise Lord. Say, boop, 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 boop. I can't see that. Right back to the water you go. The old snake is thinking to them, say, I thought I was a church, but it's holy roller. What was he, a snake to begin with? A crawfish to begin with. Old lady spider plonking his plonk. Right back to the mud hole again. Right back out with shorts on, cutting her hair. No. As a hog goes to its water and a dog to its vomit. There you are. Don't get mad, just sit still. When I was a little kid, we lived up in Kentucky and we had a hard time living. Mama used to take old corn pone, I don't know where you know what it is or not, black eyed peas and turnip greens. And when she'd take that old corn pone, we didn't have any lard, she'd render out meat skins. And then she'd make that, the grease, the shortening for this cornbread out of them meat skins. And, you know, it's kind of bad living, so every Saturday night, we all used to have to take a big bath, and we had a big old cedar tub. And then they pour water in there, get hot, there's about nine of us, and so all of them would take a bath, and never change the water, just add some more hot water. I was the last one that had to take my own bath. I got a bath, all right. But then the thing of it was, after that, to get ready for school Sunday. Now, this is on Saturday night, and on Sunday, we're all taking a good round of castor oil, the kind of way we had to eat. I got so sick of it, I'd hold my nose, just gag. I said, Mama, I can't even stand this stuff. I can't yet. She said, honey, if it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. That's the way this gospel is. If it don't get your spiritual gastronomics all stirred, make you real sick, you won't want to dig it and finding out where it's hotter. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good for you. It'll stir you all up and fix you up, make you ready for the rapture comes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So this mother's decided she don't want her little eagles to become just denominational chickens. My goodness, no. She's decided that, so she has to get them out of that nest. When everything's working right, she has to give them a trial. So you know what she does? She gets right in there, takes her big bill, her and Papa, and throws every bit of that packing out of there. Then it gets rough. Oh, my, like it did at your Pentecost. Persecutions rose and everything else, you know. Yeah. Every time the little eagle starts to down, he'd jump. He's on a sticker. Did you ever have that experience? Every little sticker. I don't want to get adjusted to the world. You don't want to get adjusted. No, no, walking on soft things. Oh, my, let's take away what the Lord's despised for you. That's right. Little eagle kind of got, she done that purposely so he wouldn't be so adjusted to that nest. He's an eagle. He's not a chicken. Don't want to get him out there so he trusts his own. So after a while, he just can't sit down. He's just having an awful time. And Mother decides then that she wants to make him a dose. He's an eagle. She looks him over and she finds out, yep, he's an eagle. So he's ready to leave the nest now. He's dissatisfied with these old things of the world. So the first thing you know, she said, now if he's an eagle, if he stays like that all the time, he'll become a chicken. So I've got to get him out here and give him some experience. So she comes down over the nest. She spreads out her great big wings, all you ought to see. My son and eagle stretch 14 feet from tip to tip. She'll throw them big wings out like this, and I'll go, ah! Oh, that big scream like that. She'll wave them big wings, and the eagles lay back like this, that wind fanning in like that. My, when she breasts them big wings like that, now she's got to get all the loose feathers out of them. Because if they don't, they'll die when they get up there. The feathers come out up there. Well, then, it's in a bad shape. And that's what's mad at the church today. It needs a good nester and get some of the loose feathers out of it. Packing a chip on your shoulders and grudges and things like that. You'll die in the fight. Amen. How can God ever have a church with signs and wonders and miracles when you're fussing one another, I'm this, I'm that, and grudges and everything? Bam! The Holy Ghost come down like a rushing wind. Bam! All them little loose feathers, I'm this and I'm that, you're nothing. That you ought to be. What the scripture says. Fan out all the loose feathers. Oh my, get them all tightened up because she's going to take them on a real ride pretty soon, a solo. Ah, oh my, that solo flight, the first one. Then she fans all the feathers out in the nest, just borrows like that. The loose feathers are flying, never hurt. Get all the feathers flying out so they get the good tight ones in there. She examines them over and see if they're ready. That's what God's trying to do to his church now. Just can't get her ready. Them feathers just keeps getting loose. You need some more spiritual vitamins to tighten it up, some eagle vitamins. That's the word. Tighten up them feathers. Then the first thing, once she gets it all out, then she's got to get them to believe her. So she spreads her great big wings out and screams to the top of her voice. She fans them like that rushing mighty wind, you know, it comes down. Oh, and the little eagles just fall back. They don't look out and say, let's see what Dr. Jones said about it. No, they look up. Oh, and you see them great big wings. See what's trying to do? She's trying to get them little eaglets to realize how great she is. The power, they got to trust in them big wings. That's the way God does. He fans all the feathers out of it. Then he's got two wings God has. You know that Jehovah Eagle? That's the New and Old Testament. He fans them before you. Oh, my! I'm the God of Moses. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God that raised Lazarus from the grave. I'm he that was dead and alive again and alive forevermore. The New and Old Testament fanning back and forth. The little eagles lay back there and say, how great thou art, how great thou art. Trust me. What good does it do to give a canary bird vitamins for his wings and make good bones and wings and keep him in a cage? What good does it do to educate preachers with theology and history and everything else and then tell them the days of miracles is past and cage him up in some denomination? Nonsense! Turn him loose! Let him fly! He's an eagle! Amen. Tell him days of miracles is all past. That's not an eagle. That's a buzzard. Listen. Eating dead things. Now, notice what happened. Then when mother gets them to see them little eagles lay out there and say, how great thou art. How great. Did you ever go out nighttime and look? I was out here at Mount Palmer, I believe it was. It's all the way around Beaumont. Still wouldn't have it broke down in my mouth. And beyond that, what did he do? Just blow them off his hand. How great thou art. How great thou art. Look at the God of Moses who opened up the Red Sea, took the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, Daniel out of the lion's den, Lazarus out of the grave. I have power. God raised him up. That's true. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. Amen. How great thou art. Trust me, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And big wings. Find out the Jesus of the New Testament, Jehovah of the Old. Yes. And big wings fanning up and down that rushing mighty wind, feeding in that. Oh, how I like to lay in that breeze. How great thou art. How great thou art. Stirring up the nest. Yes, sir. Get you ready. Then one day she decides, it's a pretty blue day, so she decides to take her little eaglets on its first flight. They done read the Bible through. They see how great she is. She's just the same as she ever was. Her great wings, her great feathers. She's equipped to take care of her little ones. So she spreads forth her wings, things herself back like that. Say, jump on, children. Oh, I'm so glad you don't have to jump on to a creed. You jump on to the cross. Say, amen. When I see you spread nothing in my arms I bring, I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do it. When they put me out of the Baptist church, I thought, why am I going to do that? I don't know, Lord. And it's a whole two globs of unchanging hands. I don't know how it's going to make it. God, you ordained me, called me to go pray for the sick. They tell me they'll have me in the insane institution in a few weeks, but how great thou art. How great thou art. Where are you going to? I don't know. Just wherever he leads me. A brother ordained me in the church said, you know what you'll wind up as? I said, someday in glory, but I'm holding to the cross. Holding to God. Mother Eagle says, jump on now. And you ought to see them little fellows how they get a hold. They take their little paws, they find them a good handful of feathers like that. They grip down and take their little beak. Reach down and get a hold of another feather. All right, Mama, I'm ready. She leaves that nest, she's way up in the air anyhow. Because they're not buzzards now, they're eagles. They're born up there. Don't be born down here, be born up there. If you're born down here, you're a denominational brother. That's all right. You're a bird too. But if you're born up here, brother, you're born in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not born to some creed. You're way up here in the air. The old mother gives a little jump like that, and she sets them big wings. When the wind's coming just right, she moves way up, on up. Little eagle, I hear him look over and say, Brother Jones, what do you think about that? Oh, isn't this wonderful? Suits me just right, don't you? Yes, sir. Holding right on, all my, on, till she goes, come out of sight with them little fellas. Well, if them was buzzards, that fall off long ago. There's crows or even hawks. They have to be eagles or they can't stand it. They're tested before they're taken on a flight. That's the reason we don't get so many flights. Oughtn't have said that, maybe. But it's unsaid. So, anyhow. Oh, when you get way up there, you know what she does? When she gets up there, does she look over and say, "You've done very well, children. I'll take you right back to your nest again." No, sir. She dumps them every one off. They're eagles. They can fly. If they're eagles, they can fly. Amen. They're eagles. They can fly if they're eagles. She dumps them off and flies away from them. Just let them alone. There they are up in the air. Brother, just flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Father, flop harder, children. Just keep on flapping your little wings. You're eagles. They're having them a Pentecostal rally. Just turn over. Just having a great time up in the blue. Amen. Way away from them denominational chickens. Way up there in the blue. Hallelujah. Way up in the blue. Just flapping around, having them a great time. Now, you know why they're having such a great time? They're not looking down towards the earth. Boy, that feels good. Boy, they're up there where they belong. Yes. Any born-again Christian likes getting them spheres up there. Yes. You know why? Their mother, she scoops off to one side. She holds those big wings and watches them. Oh, they've got perfect confidence in their mother. So have I. Oh, the one that brought me up here, he'll take care of me. The one that made the promise, he's able to take care of his promise. And the mother, her ability to catch him again. If one happens to get out of rule, you know, they say, "That's too much wildfire." Do they have a little wildfire? None at all. At least you got enough room to flap your wings. So, if one of them gets topsy-turvy, they don't worry about it. Mama watches him. She sees he ain't going to come out of it. She just swoops down, picks him up on her wings, and bears him up to grace again. That's a good Calvinistic doctrine, but brother, that's good. God brings him right up to the grace again. Bear him up. Picks him on her wings of the word and say, "Here, honey, you're off the word now. You're going off on the wrong end. Come back up and try her again now." Amen. Take the word of God and bring him right back up into grace again. Amen. Oh, they got confidence. They believe. Brother, they're having them a big time. Just a flapping and a screaming and a hollering and a carrying on. Having them a regular Pentecostal rally. Now, them chickens down there don't know one thing about that. Look up there and say, "What's that all about? I never heard of such a thing." Go ahead. Stay on the ground if you want to. Yeah. You know, it was said one time that a farmer was going to set a hen. Let's see. What is a setting? 15, I think. 15 is a hen setting. Now, here's some good old mother out there. Say, "Yep." I remember Mommy's put pencil marks all over so she felt it'd be a fresh egg in there. Not you got to watch that. See? Fresh egg meant something. So she'd set the hen 15. And the farmer only had 14 eggs. So he climbed up a cliff and got an eagle's egg. Brought it down and put it under the hen. When it hatched out, it was 14 chickens and one eagle. That's about the average one out of seven. That's about the way they run. About one in a seven. So when this little eagle was born, you can imagine what an odd duck he was in that denomination down there. Well, he didn't understand what the old hen was going out and say, "Cluck, cluck, 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 cluck." Now you see the days of miracles are fast. Cluck, 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 cluck. He said, "What's the matter?" She got out there and scratched around, you know, in that barnyard. "I'm going to have a soup supper tonight, all of you tan, you know, all like that." Well, he didn't know. He didn't like that kind of food. That made him nauseous. All of them made fun of him. Oh, we've all had that experience, haven't we?
Right.
Make fun of him. I imagine little female eagles, there's something about her. She didn't have short bobbed wings either. She had long wings, Mr. Carson. I don't want to hurt you. I love you too much. But, brother, sometimes you rough the fur back a little bit once in a while to help you. So, he walked around on his little wings said, "Well, why don't I look like the rest of those? Why is it I can't indulge in such things as that? Why is this?" Well, you're just a different creature, that's all. See? We were destined before the foundation of the world to be eagle, not a buzzard or a chicken. Walk along there, you know. The old hen finds out there on the manure pile, she'll go to scratching the old dead things the world's in. Now we're going to have a hoop race down on the beach where they're all going swimming. My goodness. Couldn't stand that. We're going to have a bunco game in the basement. Hmm? A little bingo, that's what it is. Bingo, all right? Just, I don't know anything. All right. What is bunco? Is it, maybe I was on bingo. Think. I don't know what it is. Anyhow, we're going to have that little eagle couldn't understand me. That wasn't the thing he'd been eating. It didn't fit him just right. Did you feel that way when he's out there? Boy, I did. My goodness, the stuff stunk to me.
Amen.
Calling yourself Christians, the pastor has to dismiss church 15 minutes early to smoke before he comes back and smoke it. That didn't sound right to me.
Amen.
All the deacons running around there, and I know them running with women in the church and things like that. That didn't sound like Christians to me.
Amen.
Just didn't fit just right. So he walked around. He had to be in the back all the time. They never put you in nothing. Don't worry about that. So never, they got to get out there with they look like chickens, you know. So, first thing you know, walk around through the lot. And he was an odd number. And any born again Christian in a mess like that.
Yes, amen.
Any eagle in a place like that's an odd number. That's right. So he didn't know what to do. The little fellow didn't know any better. Maybe we did. Didn't know any better. And one day, you know what? Mama knowed she laid two eggs. Former rain and latter rain. Mama, come on them! So she began to hunt for him. Here she come. Flapping these wings. She's looking around with great piercing eyes. She could look everywhere. She flew over the barnyard. Once she did, she said, Sonny! That didn't sound cluck, cluck, cluck. No! He turned his little head and looked up and said, that sounded real. Where'd that come from? Oh, my. You remember the first time God ever spoke to you?
Yeah.
Don't call me Holy Roar anyhow, so you just might as well get started. Yeah. Oh, my. When I first heard his voice, it spake like many waters. Oh, my. By the Brooklyn stream, rippling stream, so he can lay down. Bathe, look up. My. He looked up and said, what was that? She come back over, she said, honey, you're mine. You don't belong in that place anymore. Come out from among them. He's separated, says the Lord. Touch not your unclean things. I'll be God to you. I'll be God to you. You'll be son and daughter to me. You don't belong to her. That old organization says the days of miracles is past. You're mine. You're eagle. Oh, that sounds good. He said, I understand that kind of talk. Yes, sir. Why is the eagle to begin with? He was actually an eagle, just got in the wrong nest, that was all.
Glory.
I hope I don't hurt you, brethren.
Hallelujah.
I'm just telling you the truth. That's right. Many of them today is in the wrong nest. Oh, said, in the wrong nest, huh, Mama? Is that what happened to you? You're my mama? Yes, I'm your both father and mother, sister, brother. I'm all to your head. That sounds good, Mama. Now, Mama, what must I do? Said, I tell you, honey, what you got to do, you got to jump. You got to jump and get your feet off the ground. And then just go to flapping them little wings of yours. Just flap them as hard as you can. You can rise because you're an eagle. See, you got long feathers. Fly! Just jump off the ground and start flapping your wings real hard. I'll get you. And he jumped up, this little eagle coming out of them denominations, and give a great big flap four or five times and lit right on a barnyard post, right in the middle of a Pentecostal denomination. You can't organize Pentecost. You can't denominate. Pentecost is an experience, not an organization. It's for you Methodists, you Baptists, you Presbyterians. They try to draw fences around it, but it's not so. Eagles will fly right over it. Sure they do. Don't pay attention to it.
Amen.
Mother come by here and said, Mama, ain't I doing good? Look where I'm at now, Mama. She said, Sonny, you're going to have to jump higher than that. I can't even get you. There she swung back down again. He throwed his little feet up in the air and began to flop his wings as hard as he could. And the first thing you know, he felt himself being lifted up. Up. Until he struck the milky white way. Hey, man, then he can fly himself. If he got high enough, he can fly himself. Brother, that's what's the matter at the church today. Yeah. It's never raised high enough just to get out of an organization or something or to find out whether it could fly.
How do you know you taste love?
Use your wings. Hallelujah. Step into it. Go forth with your wings and fly it off.
Jehovah will catch you. I'll bury him up on eagle wings. Amen. Oh, my. I find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. I've been filled with the Spirit. There isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter with me. Oh, my. Crossed over Jordan, the Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. Is that right, brother, sister? Aren't you glad you're an eagle today? Jehovah eagle with us. God, Jehovah eagle, he's with us. I love him, don't you? Let us bow our heads. He just said something to me just then. How many in here would like to fly away from the old buzzard's roost? Get out into Christ and live free in the Spirit. Raise your hands and say, pray for me. Or just look at the hands. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. This might have been an awful rude message, church. It's rude because I have no education. I'm not a theologian. Just the little rude ways of how I watch nature and know God ordained nature. So, He's God. He's still here. He knows all things. Just being silent a moment. I'm wanting to see what he wants me to do. Just be in prayer, Lord. Be merciful to me. I'll raise my hand. Take my hand and lift me up above the shadow of death. How great thou art. How great thou art. Isn't he wonderful? Just bathe now. The message is cutting and bruising. Just bathe in his sweetness. Receive me now, Lord Jesus. I want to be an eagle. I want to fly away in the glory of God, be in His power. Yes, there is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood. Lose all their guilty sin. Just pray. How glorious. Don't you just love to feel that bathing? This is what I'm talking about. This thing had my toes squinted up and my hands drawn tight. Spirit of God moving in the building.
And let it sink way down so people can think this for a minute. Think these thoughts. Who am I? Do I know I live through this day? Where will I go if God takes my life? I know what's truth now. Keep your eyes closed. I'm just watching something in the building. See the sacredness. God making his nest now, right down in your heart. Bringing in the Word, and I'm placing here Jesus Christ, the Savior, today and forever, nesting at your heart. I'm he that was, which is, and shall come, nesting at your heart. How sweet. Section there. It was moving, kept moving that way, and then moved up across over the platform, went down and went that way, and then I see it disappear back in here, and then come right back up this way again. Went right around over the building.
Now, don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I do. I know what I'm speaking of. It's here. I believe what he meant by that, that he was circling the entire audience. That's right. He loves you. He wants you. He wants you to serve him. You are his. He is yours. He's your Lord, your Savior. Now, there's only one thing you can do, and that's believe. That's all. That's the only thing you can do. You believe, and then God confirms your faith by giving you the Holy Ghost. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, but God gave him the seal of circumcision to confirm his faith. As long as you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you may have faith, that's right, but God hasn't confirmed it yet. And when you're sealed until the day of your redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Now, he don't only save, he don't only heal, but he saves. I watch that spirit as it moves. Now, you have to be in a certain condition, surely. All of us wasn't made that way. That's exactly right. It was in the Bible that way. Sure it was. Always, but I was watching. Now it's back again. I'm looking right at it now. There it is again. Just, you say the right word. Just say the right thing. It's what you say. How many read the book, I guess it's in tape, for this new ministry, just that woman just said the right thing. I said, ask anything you wish to now. And see if God will do it. He'll give it to you right now. I don't care. So what must I ask, Brother Branham? I said, anything you want. I said, you're such a crippled sister. Your father and mother's poor. You haven't got any money. You're with us. What do you want? She said, anything. I said, find out whether it's right or not. That's the new ministry just moving up. I've been standing here for 15, 20 minutes waiting for it. See? Just say what you want. See, you have to tell me first. I said, Sister Hattie, just say whatever you want to. She said, the greatest desire in my heart is my two teenage boys, that they may be saved. I said, I give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. It fell over a lap right there. All such things have happened. If thou can't believe it. This lady sitting right here, right out here, praying. She got a nervous breakdown. No hope for her, they don't think. She's from Mississippi. Right. But you might know. Your father's sick too, isn't he? He's a preacher, isn't he? That's right, raise up your hand. I deliver you in the name of Jesus Christ from that breakdown. Go on your heel, Miss Hanson. I never seen her in my life. Ask her if those things isn't true. Are they true, lady, or wave your hand if that's right? Are we strangers? Wave your hand. What did she touch? What is it? Oh, my. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Ain't that you, shall you also. Are you believers? Can't sleep when you go home from night from the church, can you, lady? I see you laying there, tossing around, moving. Last night you had an awful night, didn't you? Right. You believe me to be God's prophet or servant? You do? You believe with all your heart? All right. If you believe like that, what can I do to help you? If I tell you delivered, do you believe it? Where it was dark, over his turn light. Your name's Miss Hoosier. All right, you can go back home and be made well. No. Lady, you sitting next to her, you was awful kind to be punching her to make her know that it was her. Was you punching that lady and telling her? I thought you was telling her about, well, you got something on your mind, so if you, yeah, that's right. You believe God will work the miracle? All right, that alcoholic will be made well if you believe with all your mind. You've been praying for your brother for a long time. You believe with all your heart? Now, folks, this is not faith, church. This is the power of the Lord God. Get her. Here's just an elderly lady looking over there. She can't understand just exactly what it's all about. This lady sitting right back here. There are the things that can't. I know. No need to ask you that. I'm looking at the light hanging right over her. She's afflicted. She's sick. She's got kidney trouble, heart trouble. She's missing of it. Mrs. Weir, believe with all your heart. God bless you. Rise up on your feet and be healed. Now, if I don't know you and you don't know me, wave your hand back and forth so the people know. Was everything he told you the truth? If that's right, wait, stand up on your feet so the people know that that's true. If everything was said true, you and I are strangers.